The words that I speak are spirit and life. The words that come from my mouth, they go forth. They accomplish what I set them to. They do not return void unto me. Trust in my words. Adhere to my words. Draw close to my words. Let my words be written on your heart. Let my words be what you live by. Let my words direct your life, and my words will take you higher and higher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't forget to join us for our Candlelight Christmas Eve service. That's on Christmas Eve, which is December 24th, 6 to 7 p.m. And if you'd like to, do they still have opportunities to participate? Yeah, there's about one or two spots if you'd like to showcase your talent and do something. Is there a sign-up sheet in the back there? Okay, you can see Pastor Fiona. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I was being saturated today by God's presence. And we're going to get into something that's going to be awesome tonight. And we're still talking about how faith shapes your life. But I want to focus tonight about how faith makes impossible possible. How many has ever faced something that seemed impossible? It was like there was no way it was going to get done, that it had never been done before, but God just supernaturally worked it out on your behalf. And what seems impossible to us is possible with God. And we just need to believe what God says. We need to receive what God says for us to receive. You know, if it was all up to God, every one of us would be walking in the fullness of what he wants us to have. Right. But how many know that there's another factor that figures into the equation, and that's us, right? You know, I think of the woman with the issue of blood. She dealt with that thing for 12 years. She did everything that she knew to do. Went to doctors, spent her money, but when she heard of Jesus, it changed everything. When she heard the word, there was a connection that she made with what God said. The living word was walking. And she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And she did. See, and it was her faith that brought that virtue that was already on Jesus. It was her faith that plugged into that and brought that power to her. Okay? Now, there was a lot of people touching Jesus. But her touch was different. Her touch was in faith. She believed what she was doing. So, you know, we have something to do with whether or not miracles happen in our lives. And it has nothing to do with being good. It has nothing to do with being a certain person or having a certain name or a certain position. It has everything to do with faith. And we got to let faith shape our life. We got to have faith in God. Now, good news is, when our faith is weak, it can be stronger. How does our faith get stronger? Faith comes by hearing. You're going to hear some words tonight. And they're not going to be my words. They're not going to be my opinion. They're going to be the word of God. And as you hear those words, faith is going to come to your heart. Because faith comes by hearing. And what you do with that faith, well, that's up to you. Amen? You know, you have to do something with the faith that you have, because faith is an action word. So, I want the words of God, I want the words of this book to knock the fear out of your life. Yes. I want this book to come inside you and knock the doubt and unbelief out of our life, right? I want this word that's on these pages to impact you and to maybe to awaken you, maybe to shake. Sometimes we need to be awakened. Sometimes we need to be shook up. Sometimes we need to be alerted or warned. Amen? Amen. The Word of God can knock the "it can't be done" out of our life. The Word of God can knock the "there's no way that this could happen" out of our life. The Word of God can knock the "it's been too long" out of our life, right? Amen. I don't know. I think of Abraham in the 24th year. He might have been tempted to be discouraged. But thank God that he didn't give in to discouragement, because there was year 25. And in year 25, the promise came to pass. And if you read in Romans, the Bible says he was strengthened in faith by giving praise and honor to God. He kept his faith strong. And I want to encourage you to keep your faith strong. Okay? Faith is going to come to you tonight, but you got to keep it strong. And when you keep your faith strong, it'll last all day long. Even more than that, right? All right, go with me to Luke chapter 1. Verse 36. Now we better go to verse 35. Because it has to do with Mary's faith. You know, she was asking how God was going to bring to pass what he was saying. Okay? She wasn't asking in a doubting way. She just was asking to increase her understanding. Okay? Now, Zechariah, her cousin, he asked in a doubtful way. And as a result, his mouth was shut for 9 months. Okay, but the angel told Mary, he said these words. He said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Do we have the Holy Ghost today? Yes. Does he still come upon you? Yes. Not only that, but if you're born again, he lives in you. Okay? And the power. Everybody say the power. I want you to get excited about the power of God tonight. Yes. I don't want you to put your faith in my eloquence, because I'm not that eloquent. But you can put your faith in the power of God. Amen? Because there's power in the words that I'm saying to you tonight. Okay? The power of the highest. Now, is there any power higher than the power of the highest? It is the most powerful force and substance. The power of the highest is going to come upon you. How can you handle it when the power of the highest is going to come upon you? Listen, if God says the power of the highest is going to come upon you, you can handle it. Okay? The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. I better hold off just a second. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. Everybody say, in her old age. Can a woman conceive in her old age? Yes. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can we say that? Say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. All right, let's say that one more time. Say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. How about by yourself? By yourself, it's going to be impossible. But with God, partnering with God, it's possible. With God, all things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible. If you encounter a mountain too big, there's no such thing when you're with God. If you encounter a bill that's too big, there's no such thing with God. There's no such thing as a bill too big for God. Or a situation too hard for God, or something too difficult for God. With God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Nothing. All right? That phrase, The NIV translates it, "For no word from God will ever fail." Nothing with God, nothing is impossible. No word from God will ever fail. That's powerful. All right? The Aramaic Bible says, because nothing is too difficult for God. How many know God can handle anything? No word from God shall be void of power. That's the American Standard. No word from God is without power. There's power in the butt of God. I know that sounds weird, but you know the Bible says, but God. Right? There's power in every word that God speaks. Now I want you to look at verse 38 because this is important. How did Mary respond when she heard the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her, the power of the highest is going to overshadow her, and there's going to be something born in her, or it'll be planted in her? Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? To your word." Okay? And the angel departed from her. Mary said, okay, I'm going to open myself up to the word that I just heard. I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to accept the word. And I'm going to receive the word. And with the word comes power. With the word comes God's ability. With the word, something that was impossible now becomes possible. It was impossible for a woman to conceive without the conventional way. Okay? Up until this point, there was only one way that a woman could conceive. But now, God was telling her that she was going to conceive in a totally different way. What was impossible with man is possible with God. And Mary heard words, and Mary accepted the words, Mary believed the words, and Mary received the words. When you read, "By your stripes, you're healed," how does that make you feel? Well, you should say, "I believe that word, I receive that word, and I accept that word." Then, based on what he said, I'm healed. Because his stripes are done. There's still power in the stripes that he bore on his back, and they bring healing to us. By his stripes you are healed. Peter said, by his stripes you were healed. You are, you were, you is. Mary heard the word, she believed it, and she accepted it. If you want the power of God to come to you, you're going to have to hear his word, you're going to have to believe it, and you're going to have to accept it. How quickly you accept it is up to you. Were there people that did not accept what Jesus said? Absolutely. There were people who didn't believe what he said, they didn't accept what he said, and therefore, guess what? They didn't get the power. The power came to those who believed, those who heard, and those who accepted what he said. And the power comes to us the same way. When you hear the word, make up your mind that when you know it's God talking, when you know it's the word of God talking, make up your mind, say, "I believe it." And that settles it. What does it mean? When you say that settles it, it means all of a sudden the impossible just became possible. The moment you believe what God said, the impossible becomes possible right in that moment. Or right now. Faith is what? Faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. When you hear the word of God, you can have faith now, right now. You can receive the word and it can start to work on your situation. How do I know this? Jesus spoke to a fig tree, didn't he? He said, "Let no man eat fruit of you ever again," right? Then what did he do? Did he stand there and watch it? No, he walked away. Why? Because every word that he says, he believes it. When he speaks, he believes it. So therefore, he doesn't have to stand watch. Now, it was the next day when Peter said, "Hey, master, look at the fig tree. That tree was dried up from the roots." Faith started to work the moment he spoke it. Guess what? The fig tree can't speak. So guess what? It couldn't disagree with God's word. The fig tree couldn't reason about what God said. He couldn't argue about it. All the tree had to do was accept what Jesus said, and it came to pass. Now, we can argue with what God said. Our feelings and our emotions begin to conflict when God says something. Like, for example, if God was to say to you, "Stand up and shout," instantly your feelings would say, "What are people going to think? I can't do it here. It's not the right time. It's not the right place." If God said it, it's the right time and it's the right place. You then have to just do it. If you believe it and accept it and receive it, then the next thing is to do it. And the power of God will be manifested. In other words, Mary gave entrance to the word in her heart. What happens? The entrance of the word, what does it give when it comes in? It gives light. The entrance of your word gives light. Psalms 119, 135. She allowed the word to enter into her heart. It got there through speaking. She had to hear it. In order for it to get into her heart, she had to hear it. But she had unrestricted access for the word. In other words, the word could come in and touch anything that it wanted to. She's basically saying, "Okay, God, have your way. Whatever you say, that's it." She gave entrance to the word of God. Okay? The word of God entered her heart. And the moment she believed, guess what happened? The moment she believed, an embryo started to form in her womb. The moment she believed, God planted his incorruptible seed right inside of her. And that seed began to grow. And 9 months later, little baby Jesus was born. That was a miracle. A miracle came through natural means with supernatural help. I mean, Jesus still had to be born. You know, he didn't just open up her womb and walk out. I mean, babies are still born, but how he got there was supernatural. Because she allowed the word to enter into her. And when you allow the word to enter into you, faith is going to release the power of God. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 12. This is powerful. Oh my goodness. I'm about to come out of my shoes. Whoo! I want you to get a hold of this. This can make the difference in your life. Young people, there's no age limit on, you don't have to be a certain age to receive the word. How do I know this? Because John the Baptist was a baby, and when he heard Jesus mentioned, he got excited in the womb. And Moses was 80 when God spoke to him in the wilderness. Did you realize Moses didn't get started on his call till he was 80? So before the womb in 80. That pretty much covers all of us, doesn't it? Anybody here before the womb? No. And I don't think there's anybody here over 80. So guess what? If someone in the womb can do it, and if someone who's 80 can do it, you can do it. I can do it. Receive the word of God tonight. When you receive the word, the power comes. The power, when you receive the word inside of you, the power is activated. Let me ask you this question. How many of you like chocolate milk? Okay? I'm not talking about the store-bought stuff. I'm talking about when you take the syrup and you pour. When does chocolate milk become chocolate milk? When you get the chocolate inside of the milk. The chocolate milk doesn't become chocolate milk until the chocolate is inside the milk. And once the chocolate's inside, you got to stir it up. But when you got the chocolate inside the milk and you stir it up, all of a sudden the milk gets transformed and it becomes chocolate milk. A miracle. I took white milk and changed the color by what I added into it and what I did with what was inside of it. Oh, can you hear this? When the Word of God gets added into you and you stir that Word up in you, it's going to transform you. Young people, all you got to do is have faith. He didn't say all things are possible to them that have a lot of money. He didn't say all things are possible to them who have a high IQ. He didn't say all things were possible to them who can sing good. But the Bible said all things are possible to them that believe. So the question is, what do you believe about what God said? Do you believe that what God said you can have, you can do, it can come to pass? It's what you believe about what he says that makes the difference. So young people, if you're facing a situation you don't know what to do with, have faith in God. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 12. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. David was planning on blessing the Lord forever and ever. As far as David was concerned, there was no stoppage in his blessing God. Come on. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. David is magnifying the power of God. He is praising the power of God. And the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Powerful. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all, and in your hand is power and might. Where is power and might? In his hand. Now get this. Are we not the body of Christ? When we lay hands on the sick, isn't it the Lord laying his hand on the sick? And doesn't he have power and might in his hand? What happens when you as a believer lay hands on the sick? Power gets released. Why? Because you are the Lord's body and his power is operating through you. Because you wouldn't lay hands on someone if you didn't believe it. Would you? You're laying hands on them because you believe that God is the healer. And the moment you lay hands on them, it's like Jesus laying his hands on them. And in his hands are power and might. And in your hand, it is to make great and to give strength to all. With God, nothing is impossible. Why? He is great. He has the power. He has the glory. He has the victory. He has the majesty in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. The miracle is I'm going to get this out in an hour. That's less than an hour. That's a miracle. Whew. You get a hold of this tonight, it can change your life forever. When you use your faith to make the impossible possible. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now let me ask you this. If his word made all the heavens, can his word recreate an organ that's not working in you? If his word made the heavens, can't his word manifest provision for you when you need it? if his word made the heavens, then don't you think that whatever he says is going to come to pass? I mean, his word made the heavens, and the very word that made the heavens he gives to you. And there's power in that word. And all he wants us to do is have faith in what he said. Believe what he said, receive what he said, accept what he said. If you believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, then why do we say we can't so many things? We obviously don't believe what he said about that. Uh-oh, why'd you have to go there, Pastor? Talk to the Holy Ghost, I don't know. If we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, then we really need to rethink we need to retool our vocabulary. There are certain words then that we should not be using at all in our everyday conversations. Psalm 62, 11. All I'm doing is telling you about the power of God so that you can have faith in the power of God. If you want the difference in your life, you've got to have faith in the power of God. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Who owns power? Who invented power? I mean, our God is a walking powerhouse. Do you realize when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he was walking with power? Power was on him? And she just happened to connect to that power that was already there by faith? If I want to access this power that's already there, our power bill's paid, obviously, the lights came on, and behind this wall, everything is wired. So what do I need to do to connect to the power? I got to plug in, right? I got to connect to the power. Guess what? You connect to God's power by faith. You plug into God's power by what you believe. What you believe about what God said, whoop, you make a connection. All of a sudden, power comes to bring to pass what he said. Just like in Mary's case. Power belongs to God. Go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verses 5 and 6. 145, 5 and 6. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of your terrible acts, and I will declare your greatness. Now, how can you go around declaring God's greatness and be defeated? You can't. You can't go around declaring God's greatness and be defeated. We know that from David. He faced a giant, unbeaten, a warrior from his youth. What did David do? He took care of sheep. But yet, he plugged into the power of God with faith. And the power of God was released when he let that rock fly. And not only God took that rock and he touched it with his power and he implanted it in Goliath's head. Did you know that David was the best babysitter in the world? He rocked Goliath to sleep. Now, that phrase, and of your wondrous works, what it's really saying is on your wondrous works, or the words of your wondrous works. He's talking about the words of his wondrous works. Do we have stories in the Bible of some wonders being worked? Are they true? Did the Israelites actually walk through the Dead Sea? Yes. Can, Oh, yeah, what did I say? Oh, yeah, the Dead Sea. Thank you. Yeah, the Red Sea. You know, I grew up in a church that actually believed that they walked through an area of water that was about knee level. But that's even a greater miracle, how the whole Egyptian army drowned in knee-deep water. I mean, that takes more faith to believe that than to believe that God opened up the Red Sea. I mean, can you see the Egyptian army? How'd you, I drowned in 2 feet of water, you know? That's just dumb. Did you know that God does what he pleases? Do you realize in creation, God said, let there be light. What happened? What was the atmosphere like when he spoke? Or what was the atmosphere before he spoke? It was dark. How come God didn't spend his time casting out the darkness? Why didn't he say, darkness, I command you to go? All he said was, light be. Listen, when God speaks, whatever he says is going to happen. So he didn't have to deal with the darkness. All he had to do was bring light. And he brought light by his words. Let there be light. Light came along. He didn't have to do anything else other than speak. We have a book full of God speaking. And you got people, I want a word from God. I want a word from God. Here you go. Pick one. You got a bunch of them right here. If you don't get this, what else does God have to say to you? If you're not in this, what, you know, if you don't believe this, you're going to have a hard time believing God speaking audibly to you. Now, God can speak audibly, and he does. He has to people. You know, he's never spoken to me audibly, but that doesn't mean that he can't. I believe that he can. I guarantee you, though, if God speaks to you audibly, it's usually in drastic situations. That's going to require a lot of faith on your part. Go to Genesis 18. Verse 14. This question goes along with God, all things are possible. God appeared to Abraham. And he was telling Abraham that he was going to be a father. And Sarah was overhearing this conversation. And Sarah, she got... She goes, am I going to find pleasure in my Lord again? She laughed. And God said, you can be sure of this. A year from now, in the season of life, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah denied that she laughed, but that didn't do too well, did it? God said, no, you did laugh. But he just simply said, is anything too hard for God? Why do we think that things are too hard for God? You're facing a tough situation. Oh, I don't know if God can help me. Why not? Is anything too hard for God? Listen, there is not a test that has ever been devised that God couldn't pass with 100. There is no enemy too great that can come against you that God can't handle. Ask yourself, is anything too hard for God? The answer is no. Because with God, all things are possible. Does age have anything to do with miracles? No. Sarah and Abraham, they were well past their years in age. Age had nothing to do with them getting a miracle. It was all about their faith. Your age has nothing to do with whether or not you get miracles. It has everything to do with your faith, with what you can believe, with what you receive, with what you accept into your heart. So, Go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? You shall see now whether my word shall come to pass unto you or not. When you decide to believe God's word, you're going to get to see it come to pass. When I was facing this court thing, I was believing God. I was praying a prayer. I believed God that he was going to work it out in my favor. When people said, you know, I didn't really think about it. I just said, you know, so my phrase now is to God be the glory. Okay? Now, the situation here in Numbers 11, there were some people that tagged along with the Israelites out of Egypt. They were called a mixed multitude. These were carnal. These were flesh-oriented people. And their cravings for meat started to affect people. So people were crying because they didn't have meat. And God's up in heaven saying, would you get over yourself? I just brought you through the Red Sea and you're crying that you don't have meat? The same God who brought them through the Red Sea can also provide meat to them. Okay? And Moses said in this passage here, we don't have time to look at it all, but Moses said there were 600,000 men, not including women and children. So you're looking at 2 to 3 million people. Is it possible to get enough meat to feed 2 to 3 million people for a month? Huh? Is it possible? Can God do it? Or is that too hard for God? Is it too hard for God to give 2 to 3 million people meat? No. And God is saying, you know, nothing is too hard for me. Okay? My arm's not too short. God, in other words, God's saying, look, I've got enough power to provide meat. And he did. Verse 32 says, the people who gathered the least, they gathered about 10 omers. That's about 60 bushels of quail. People who gathered the least. They gathered 60 bushels. I don't even know how much a bushel is, but that sounds like a lot of quail. 60 bushels of the people that gathered. God caused quail to fly about this high in camp, and all people had to do was, they didn't have to use a gun. They just had to knock them down out of the air. God caused quail to fly into the camp. I mean, how easier could God make it? I went quail hunting today. How many get 60 bushels? 60 bushels of quail. But this story didn't turn out so good. Even though God did a good thing, he punished the people who were driven by their lust for meat. And they died. You know, the Bible says that everything is available, but not everything is good for you. And he called the place Kibroth Hattava, which means graves of the greedy. Graves of greediness or graves of lust. Now, the people who got punished were the people who inordinately, they superseded their lust and they affected other people. How many know that you affect people, positive or negative? They're either going to remember you for your problems you caused or the problems you solved. All right, let's look at one more example. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 26. Who has the power? And who does he want to give it to? To us who? To us that do what? The believe. Are you a believer? Do you believe what God said? If God said, rejoice, do you believe it? Then if you believe it, you would have to rejoice, right? Because he said it and you believe it. So once you believe it, you got to act it out. You know, faith was not designed to sit down and do nothing. Faith without works or corresponding actions is dead. All right, Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God, how many things are possible? All things. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. See, the reason that they're possible is faith makes them manifest. The possibility is there, but faith brings it into the realm of reality. It is possible for a man and a woman to have a baby in their 90s, but it was their faith that brought the manifestation of the reality of what God said. It was their faith that connected to what God said, and it brought it down here, and it caused it to appear. Just like when you order a pizza, you're using your faith. Right? Because the minute you get off the phone of your pizza, what do you start setting out plates. You believe that the pizza man took your order and he's going to bring you the pizza that you ordered. And you start getting ready for it. You start setting out plates, you get the drinks, don't we all do that, don't we? Some people have more faith in the pizza delivery man than they do in God. That was just a little statement to wake you up if you weren't awake. Okay? What was impossible with men? The disciples were shocked when Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter heaven. What do you mean? Now, listen, you wouldn't be shocked if you weren't rich. Come on. The reason that the disciples were shocked is because a lot of them were rich. You can be rich and serve God? Absolutely, all things are possible. Okay? So, you don't have to turn there, but write it down. Psalm 8:6. It says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Did you know that all things are under Jesus' feet? Did you know that problem that you've been facing is under Jesus' feet? That difficulty that you've been facing is under Jesus' feet. He has dominion over it. He can do something about it if you believe him. Do you know what love does? According to 1 Corinthians, love rejoices in the truth. When you hear the word of God, are you hearing truth or are you hearing a lie? So when you hear God's word, love rejoices over truth. Another thing that love does, love believes all things. And it has to do with the truth. Whatever the truth says, love believes. Is God love? Did he shed his love abroad in your heart? Then we ought to just duplicate what love does. We ought to believe all things that God says. Okay? And love endures all things. And Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. What's hindering you from believing? What is causing you to not believe? When Jesus walked into the room where Jairus' daughter was, he walks in. They're having a funeral service. They're having a wake, I should say, a viewing. They're crying, they're wailing. And Jesus walked in and said, your daughter's not dead, she's asleep. Everybody stopped crying and looked at him and they started to laugh at him. But he got the last laugh. Because he touched her hand and he brought her back to life. Because he did what Jairus said. You should touch her and she shall live. And he could have lost that, couldn't he? So Jesus is able to subdue all things to himself. So what do you need? You're one belief away from having your needs met. You're one belief away. All you have to do is believe. What do you need, young people? Do you need help? Do you need wisdom? Do you need strength? Do you need encouragement? God's got it. And it's ready to be dispersed to you through what you believe. You believe it? Whoom! Whoa! Wisdom just came to me. Did you know when you ask for wisdom, the Bible says you got to ask in faith? That means you got to ask believing that God's going to give you wisdom. That means you got to cast off all stupidity that might come your way. Listen, stupidity, we're all tempted by stupidity. All right? Every one of us in here, me included, we've all made stupid decisions because we try to do it ourselves. God will let you do it yourself. And when you fall on your face after trying to do it yourself, he'll pick you up and give you grace. He'll brush you off. He'll say, okay, but he'll let you do it yourself. If you want to do it yourself, you will find failure after failure after failure. It's so much easier to do it with God. Because with God, all things are possible. So faith makes your impossible possible. So I want you to believe God tonight. Whatever you need more money, you need better opportunity, you need peace in your house, you need direction. Whatever you need, believe God to give it to you. Believe that God is your God. Believe that God is your provider. Believe that God is the Prince of Peace. If you believe that he's the Prince of Peace, then where the Prince is, peace is. All you've got to do is let peace in your home. Speak peace. Who's ready to believe God tonight? Who's ready to make the impossible possible? If you're going to be a possible person, you can't ever use the word can't. So tonight, I give you a swift kick in the cans. We're going to kick can't out the door. All right? Are you ready to kick can't out the door? Are you ready to put doubt out? Are you ready to tell unbelief to leave? Amen? And we're going to believe God. We're going to hold on to his word, and we're going to accept it, we're going to hear it, and we're going to receive it, and it's going to come to pass. Amen? Why don't you stand up? See, Jesus already anointed you to believe. The Bible said that he's given to every one of us a measure of faith. Everyone has a measure. Now, guess what? The thing about faith is your measure can grow. It's what you do with the measure will determine how big it gets. Because faith is just like a muscle. Stephen, when you worked out for football, did your muscles get bigger? You got stronger? You got faster? Because you worked out, you practiced, right? You exercise. You got to do the same thing with faith. See, but too many times we think we want faith to do all the work. Listen, all the work that you have to do with associated with faith, all you have to do is believe. And you have to resist anything that says anything different about what you're believing for. If you're believing to be healed, you must resist every word, every thought about sickness. When sickness starts to fill your mind, you got to take those thoughts captive. You got to say, you have the right to remain silent. You got to arrest those thoughts. The Bible says to cast down vain imaginations. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. And we have to believe God with our minds, our mouths, and our bodies. If you believe God to provide, then you better have faith to give. Because it works both ways. Amen? So say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm here tonight, and I'm ready to believe you. Whatever you say, I can have, it's mine. Whatever you say, I can do, it's done. No more doubt, no more unbelief. My faith is strong because I hear the word continually, day and night. I speak it out of my mouth. I put it in my heart. I make my way prosperous, and I have good success. I'm a faith person. I'm a believer. And because I'm a believer, I'm a receiver. Good things are happening in my life. I have the favor of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid. I'm bold as a lion. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God is for me. Therefore, doesn't matter who's against me. I'm a winner. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm alive. I'm strong. I have peace. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The devil is defeated. I don't care about my past. I'm moving forward. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is on my side. God is for me. I let God arise and my enemies scatter. I lack no good thing. I have a provider. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven because my Father, He loves me. He accepts me. He's forgiven me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right there, we just did some faith exercise. Right now, we just had a faith workout. Now, you're going to leave this place, and miracles are going to happen. Things are going to work out. What happens if a mountain comes in your way? Speak to that mountain. Say, mountain, you've got to move, jump into the sea, get out of my way, because I'm coming through. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? If you say unto the mountain, Jesus spoke to dead people, He spoke to plants, He spoke to the wind, right? He spoke to a fish. He said, Peter, the first fish you catch. He knew he was going to catch a fish, and he knew that that fish with the gold in its mouth was going to get on Peter's hook. So what did Peter do? Well, this sounds kind of strange, but okay, he took his pole, he threw it in the water, and wouldn't you know? A fish on there. What's in its mouth? Just like Jesus said. How many know, if you've served God for a while, you know what God said is true. You've seen His word work over and over and over again. So don't let up on your faith. Let your faith put pressure on the enemy. If the enemy's putting pressure on you, turn it around. Put pressure on him. Well, how do you put pressure on the devil? If the devil's giving you a hard time, go share the gospel with someone. Go find someone that you don't even know and say, hey, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. You'll give the devil a hard time. You guys are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Faith shapes your life, and you're in good shape. Amen? Nothing is impossible to you because you're with God. You're doing things God's way. Your way has just ended tonight. If you're a person that has to get your own way, sorry. That person has been defeated tonight. We knocked him out. God's way reigns in my life. Hallelujah. You feel like your faith has been built up tonight? You feel stronger in the Lord? Now go out and put it into practice. Amen? Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight. Thank you for emblazing this message in our hearts. Continue to give us understanding through your Spirit. We just honor and bless you as we go tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.